South Australian Premier Peter Malinauskas is finalising a cabinet reshuffle as the party enters its second term following a landslide victory. But 5 days out, the state's election has been widely described as a political earthquake, with results disrupting the traditional two-party system. Labor is set to secure up to 35 of 47 lower house seats for the first time. Meanwhile, attention has turned to the collapse of Liberals, who are left reeling after One Nation surpassed the party by 3% voter share, raising questions about what the latest political shift could mean for SA and beyond. I spoke with Josh Sunman, Associate Lecturer in Public Policy at Flinders University, to hear more.
The kind of big story here of what's driven the One Nation vote is in large part a Liberal Party collapse. Voters on the right of politics are dissatisfied with the option that the Liberal Party is offering. They're having all kinds of internal structural issues, and the South Australian Liberal Party in particular has had a lot of structural weakness over the longer term. So in some ways, if One Nation was going to break through anywhere, it makes sense that it was here. But also, there is a bit more of a complex picture where we can see that One Nation has picked up some Labor vote, particularly in the outer suburbs, and Labor has also picked up some Liberal votes in the inner ring of Adelaide.
As I understand, Labor secured 33 out of 47 seats, a first in SA. So I guess in terms of strategy, campaign, public attitude, and, you know, as you mentioned, other party influences, what else can be attributed to this historic victory, or what do you think decided the election in this way?
Labor obviously ran a really effective campaign. They targeted where they thought they could win seats, perhaps sometimes for the first time in history, really diligently. They focused really hard on the seats of Unley, Morfitt, Hartley, Morialta, etc. They also put a lot of effort into the seats of Ngerri and Hammond, which One Nation looked to have won. They'll be a little bit disappointed that they haven't managed to break into some regional and rural seats like they were hoping to. But overall, that doesn't really detract from the fact that this is Labor's biggest ever victory in South Australia.
One Nation have secured one seat in the lower house. I understand projections could suggest three, and it's predicted that they might also win around three seats in the Legislative Council. If that being all correct, what trajectory do you think this could set up?
As you say, One Nation have secured one lower house seat, are very likely to get three in the upper house. They have the potential to win four in the lower house, but these counts are kind of close and ongoing. In terms of party trajectory, it's hard to say, right? Is this the top end of what they achieve? Is this their high watermark? Or do they build from here? It's really hard to tell, and it depends in large part upon how the Liberal Party manages to recover from this defeat. The Liberal Party are looking at this stage to secure somewhere between four and six seats, which, whilst incredibly low, is still enough for them to be the clear opposition and is better than some of the forecasts may have given them. Likewise, One Nation and their performance over the next few years depends on how are they able to kind of hold the government to account. Traditionally, One Nation has done very poorly in keeping its members together and inside the tent. So it will be interesting to see whether they make a better job of it this time in South Australia. The Liberals haven't lost direct opposition status. They have lost in terms of they've come third in vote share. I think it's entirely possible that in future the next election, for example, the Labor government has perhaps come a little bit more unpopular and traditional Liberal voters are more willing to return to them, particularly in the city. But that doesn't understate the fact they have a massive task to do that. And we don't really know what happens from here. This is somewhat uncharted territory.
Like you've just mentioned, I mean, One Nation are above Liberal in voter share at the moment. Why do you think there's this rise in popularity for One Nation?
I think it's linked to a couple of things. Increased kind of cost of living and housing pressures are certainly influencing people against the major parties and the status quo. One Nation has been remarkably consistent in its kind of nativist immigration policies, which favour blocking immigration to Australia. They offer that as a solution to things such as cost of living pressures and the housing crisis. It's a really simplified way of One Nation communicating these big problems can be solved if we just turn off the immigration tap. That's not true, but there's a certain kind of what we might call a commonsensical logic to it that people can see it, and it's a simple explanation for complex things that are going on and never seem to be solved. Whether One Nation actually are in a position to have to implement policies and actually deliver on what they campaign on, that might change in the minds of voters.
I guess with One Nation gaining this popularity at the moment, and also the SA election results, what national impact do you think these results could have?
So this isn't just a South Australian phenomenon. We're seeing polling showing One Nation surging across all states and territories at the moment. In terms of national implications, the first one is that the numbers are real, in the sense that there was a tendency for academics included, political parties, other kind of political operatives to say, look, people are reflected in the polls as voting for One Nation, but will they actually put a one in the box come election day? The South Australian election proves that yes, they will. This means that the major parties federally have to take One Nation as a real serious threat.
With the recent SA election and the results emerging, there have been some sharp gains and losses across seats. You mentioned a couple before. So Liberals lost Hartley, for example, and Unley, which was held by Liberal for over 30 years, has been won by Labor's Alice Rolls. Mm-hmm. What effects could these have on the political landscape?
I think seats like Unley and Hartley will be competitive again for the Liberal Party in the future, but the Liberal Party also suffered massive swings against it in seats it lost last time. So seats like Waite and Davenport, which had a long history of never electing Labor Party members, both went to Labor in the 22 election, and at this election have both recorded massive swings, 13% in Davenport and 18% in Waite, in what were traditional Liberal heartland seats. So the Liberals have a real problem in they have to balance trying to win their rural core back from One Nation or secure it against One Nation, and they also have to win back their moderate urban core from the Labor Party. And this is an incredibly hard tightrope to balance on.
I understand that the SA election saw an increase in independent candidates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you think this had a major impact on results?
We had a record number of candidates. I want to say it was 388, but I could be wrong on that figure at this state election. This is perhaps reflecting a broader kind of dissatisfaction with the two major parties. In terms of results, I don't think it had a real direct impact. And we even saw some incumbent independents in rural seats such as Nick McBride in MacKillop and Fraser Ellis in Narunga actually lose votes to One Nation. But it certainly has delayed the counting process. So, you know, we're almost a week after the election now, and there are still several seats up in the air. Part of this is the fact that most seats have 11 or 12 candidates, which is really slowing down the process.
Chatting with a couple of different groups before the election, there was some real concern about SA's Legislative Council having a stronger right-wing presence, particularly mm-hmm. through the rise of One Nation popularity. What impact could this have on the balance of power and also passing legislation, particularly around more progressive policy?
The way it's looking at the moment is Labor are looking in an okay position to secure a fifth legislative councillor. So this would be Claire Scriven, who was dropped down their ticket, who's the current Minister for Agriculture, amongst other things. It's looking like on the numbers that out of the 22-member chamber, Labor and the Greens will likely hold a majority of 12 between them. The One Nation influence will be there in the upper chamber. Three members is a significant amount. At the same time, the government and the Greens should be able to maintain a majority on most issues.
Now that, you know, voting or election night is over, the Labor cabinet has undergone a major reshuffle with Blair Boyer shifted from education to health. So Chris Picton's moved from health to defence and AI, from what I remember. But there's also several newcomers. So first term MPs have been promoted to front bench, so like Alice Rolls, for example. How do you see this playing out?
The major changes in the cabinet were obviously Zoe Bettison and Nat Cook being removed. Mm-hmm. They're from the right and the left faction respectively, and their replacements, Nadia Clancy and Alice Rolls, Nadia being from the left, Alice being from the right, are replacements for those. In South Australian Labor, the factions essentially determine who is appointed to cabinet, and then it's up to the premier to allocate portfolios. So the factions have decided to elevate some new talent in both Nadia Clancy and Alice Rolls, and then the premier has allocated portfolios. I don't think it's a surprise, for example, that Chris Picton has been shifted out of health after the kind of email scandal throughout the campaign, but he still finds himself in quite a prominent cabinet role.
Is there anything else that you could offer, perhaps on maybe newcomers?
Labor now has a massive backbench, and massive backbenches, whilst they're a nice thing that you've won a big victory, do come with problems in balancing people's egos and making sure they have enough to do over the next 4 years. Other interesting newcomers will depend upon the exact final count in those rural seats between One Nation and the Liberals. For example, One Nation's candidate for MacKillop has a very interesting background as a same-sex marriage advocate and a former sex party candidate. You could imagine, were he eventually successful, there could be some interesting caucus meetings involving him and Corey Bernardi.
With Blair Boyer shifted from education to health, so Chris Picton's moved from health to defence and AI, from what I remember. But there's also several newcomers. So first-term MPs have been promoted to frontbench, so like Alice Rolls, for example. How do you see this playing out?
The major changes in the cabinet were obviously Zoe Bettison and Nat Cook being removed.
Josh Sunman, Associate Lecturer in Public Policy at Flinders University College of Business, Creative Arts, Law and Social Sciences, speaking with me.